defeated. Our scripture reading this morning on the first Sunday of the new year comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 9 in your Bible or in the Pew Bible as we look together at verses 35 to 38. It's on page 687 in the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with the verse numbered 35. May we give our full and reverent attention to the reading of God's holy word. Jesus went through all the towns and villages of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." May God bless to our hearts and minds this reading from his holy word. It is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, speak to us this morning from your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our strength, our hope, our fortress, and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, despite the cold temperatures, it has been an eventful weekend here at Faith. Yesterday we had our Vision Advance workshop with Ken Pretty, which many of you attended. Earlier this morning we had breakfast with Chris and Robin Zickman, hearing about their missionary work in Belgium. We've prayed for Stephanie Fry, who departs tomorrow for Haiti, and the new beginning of her missionary work there. We've ordained and installed new ruling elders and deacons for servant leadership in the life of our church family. In a little while, we will celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper together. But first, I want to talk with you for a few minutes about Jesus. I want to talk with you about what propelled Jesus in his ministries of teaching and preaching and healing, and how all of that relates to us. I want to talk with you about the mission Jesus has for his church and about seeing the mission through the eyes of Jesus. In a word, what motivated Jesus in his itinerant ministry as he traveled through the towns and villages of Galilee, teaching and preaching and healing every kind of disease and sickness, was compassion. Compassion born of love. When Jesus saw the crowds that came to him, Matthew says in verse 36, he had compassion on them. He felt for them, which is the meaning of the Greek word splanchnizomai, and he felt with them, which is the sense of the Latin word compassio. The message says his heart broke for them. The New Testament verb that means to have compassion literally means to feel in the bowels or intestines. It's an attempt to express the depth of feeling we have for or about people experiencing some kind of hardship or need in their lives. Of the 12 times this verb occurs in the Gospels, 8 times it's used to refer specifically to the compassion of Jesus for others, as in the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. The healing of a man with leprosy, the healing of two blind beggars, and the raising of a widow's son from the dead. In each of these instances, the Scripture says, Jesus felt compassion, or Jesus had compassion for people. In one instance, the father of a boy with an evil spirit appeals to Jesus to have compassion on his son, which Jesus does, as he proceeds to cast out the evil spirit and to heal the boy. The verb is also used by Jesus himself on three occasions in speaking of the compassion of the Good Samaritan, the compassion of the father of the prodigal son for his son, and Jesus uses it negatively of the unmerciful debtor who refuses to have compassion on his fellow servant, even though he himself has received mercy from his master. Compassion, you see, was a part of Jesus' DNA. He was a man who incarnated, who embodied compassion, a man who was motivated by a deep reservoir of loving compassion and compassionate love for people, and not only for people in need of food or physical healing or facing some other extreme situation in life. What causes Jesus' compassion here in Matthew chapter 9 is not sickness or hunger or some other physical or material need. What sparks the compassion of Jesus in this case is the great spiritual need of the people. Jesus had compassion on the crowds he encountered as he traveled through the towns and villages of Galilee, because they were, as Matthew says, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They'd been let down by their religious leaders. They had been misled, mistreated by the spiritual shepherds who were supposed to watch over them and guide them. They'd been bullied and oppressed by the Pharisees and teachers of the law who laid heavy burdens on the people's shoulders and then looked down on them with an air of spiritual superiority. They felt helpless to throw off these unbiblical burdens their leaders were requiring them to carry. And Jesus saw it. Jesus saw it, and it broke his heart. More than anything, Jesus wanted them, just as he wants people in every generation, right up to this very moment in history, to know the grace and power and peace and freedom of the gospel. The grace and power and peace and freedom that come not from some kind of mystical spiritual experience or from adhering to a list of do's and don'ts, but from trusting in Jesus and his saving power to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The heart of Jesus is a heart of compassion for people in need, which is all of us. The heart of Jesus is a heart of compassion for sinners who need a Savior, which is all of us, including our neighbors and friends who do not yet know Him as Savior and Lord of their lives. Someone has said that compassion, the compassion of Jesus, is the cornerstone of the mission of the church. You see that? You see how that's true? The Christian mission starts with the compassion of Jesus that you can see and I hope feel in this description of the heart and motivation of Jesus in these verses. Jesus saw his mission field and was filled with compassion. As a church, we have a mission field too. Right here in Kingstown and the surrounding communities. I think Jesus wants us to see his mission field our mission field through His eyes of compassion, with His heart of compassion for spiritually lost, misguided, confused, hurting people, like our neighbors in what we call the red zone around our church. Now, I know some of you are not fond of this term, the red zone. That's okay. I happen to like it. I think I'm actually the one who suggested it. But I don't really care what we call it. What I care about is that we as a church family and as individual members of the body of Christ care enough about our neighbors and friends and family members and co-workers and classmates to figure out ways, meaningful ways, to connect with them, to share our faith with them, to invite them to put their faith in Jesus for salvation, to enfold them in the church, to help them grow in grace and knowledge of as disciples of the Lord Jesus. To care enough about all of these things and then actually do it. That's what I care about. I believe that's what Jesus cares about. And I hope it's what you care about too. The circumstances of the people who are geographically closest to us today are far different from the people in the crowds Jesus encountered in His travels through Galilee. But in some respects, the condition of people in Kingstown and surrounding communities is really not so different at all. Spiritually, in fact, it's much the same. People today are just as lost without Jesus as they were in the first century. Some people today feel no need for God in their lives. They don't care about God. Life is good just the way it is. As far as they're concerned, they already have everything they need without God. Some people have created a God or belief system of their own to validate the lifestyle choices and decisions they've made. Some have never heard of Jesus, or at least have never seriously considered His claims to be the Son of God, Savior of sinners, and Lord of life. Some have built their lives on a foundation that may seem just fine for now, but will not withstand the storms and tests and troubles that inevitably come into every life. Some think they have discovered the path to personal fulfillment without God. And for a while, maybe even for a long time, it may appear that they have chosen the right path. Jesus sees through all of this. But He doesn't look down on the lost people of this world. He doesn't look at the lost people of our community with anger or frustration or condemnation in His heart. He doesn't just tolerate them. He looks at them with compassion and love. He feels for them and desires for them to open their eyes and their hearts to Him in faith. A biblical scholar named D.A. Carson, the fact that he's a biblical scholar really has nothing to do with what I'm about to tell you, but that's who he is. Some years ago, he tells about going to the beach with a friend in search of some R&R. He was looking forward to some much-needed peace and quiet. But when he and his friend got there, they found a horde of high school kids celebrating graduation with lots of beer, loud music, and, as he describes it, public displays of affection. Not the sorts of things that we would probably approve of. Carson says, deeply disappointed that my relaxation was being shattered by a raucous party, I was getting ready to cover my disappointment with moral outrage. He turned to his friend to unload his venom, but stopped when he saw his friend staring at the scene with a kind of faraway look in his eyes. And then his friend said softly, "High school kids, what a mission field." In other words, like Jesus, Carson's friend had compassion for them. Like Jesus, he looked at them with eyes of love. The same can be said for any age group, any affinity group, or any demographic. What a mission field. What a mission field. Compassion for lost people compelled Jesus to teach about God and life with God, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, and to heal every kind of sickness and disease from which the people suffered. And you know, this same compassion for spiritually lost people compelled Jesus to call his disciples to pray. "The harvest is plentiful," he says, "but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." What we see here is that if compassion, the compassion of Jesus, is the motive for our mission as his followers, the means of our mission are prayer and people. There's a need for prayer. Passionate, persistent, heartfelt, devoted prayer, which is something you can do, regardless of your age or health. It's something each of us can do personally. It's something we can do in our small groups, in our Sunday school classes, in our ministry teams. It's something we can do as a church family united. We can pray. Jesus tells his disciples, and by extension, us, to pray. That's more than a suggestion. One of the most remarkable spiritual revivals in American history began in September of 1857 when a businessman in New York City, Jeremiah Lamphere, felt prompted by God to invite people to pray during their lunch hour one day a week. The first day, Lamphere prayed alone for a half hour, but then was joined by six other men. The next week, nearly 40 came. Then they began to meet for prayer. Instead of once a week, they began to meet for prayer daily. And soon there were 100 people. In less than 6 months, 6,000 people were meeting in 150 different locations in Brooklyn and Manhattan to pray. In less than a year, the prayer movement had spread to cities such as Boston, Baltimore, Washington, Pittsburgh, Chicago, St. Louis, Memphis, and New Orleans. In June 1858, 9 months after Jeremiah Lamphere began this prayer movement, it was estimated that nearly 100,000 people had come to faith in Christ, not through evangelistic preaching or works of charity, but through the prayers and witness of these praying Christians. Will God do something as dramatic as this again if we commit ourselves to pray? If we pray together? I don't know. I guess there's only one way to find out. It doesn't have to be at noon. Doesn't have to be at church. Can take place anywhere. There is a small group that meets for prayer here at church every Monday evening, and I know they would love to have others join them. So Jesus tells us to pray. For what? For workers, for laborers to work in the Lord's harvest field. Notice as Ken Pretty said to us at the Vision Advance workshop yesterday, this is not a harvest issue. It's a laborer issue. It's workers who are needed to bring in the harvest of souls that God is gathering to Himself. We have a mandate from the Lord Jesus Himself to pray, and to pray specifically for people to labor in the Lord's mission field. It's not that we're not to pray for people who don't yet know Christ as Savior and Lord. We should. We must. But here, Jesus is telling us to pray for people to serve in His mission field. So just as there is a need to pray, there is a need for people to go. The need for people to go out in the name of Jesus includes people like Stephanie and Chris and Robin Zickman. It includes all of the missionaries that we support as a church. But it also includes us, because God is calling us as His church to be His missionaries here in Kingstown and the surrounding communities. The harvest, says Jesus, is plentiful. It's abundant. It's larger, I think, than we can imagine. In the 2,000 years since the days of Jesus' incarnation, literally millions and millions. How many millions? I have no idea. But millions and millions of men, women, girls, and boys have found salvation by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ and His atoning death on the cross for undeserving sinners. Think about that. Think about the fact that you and I, if we sincerely trust in Christ for our salvation and desire His help to live a holy life, are part of that harvest. We're included in the harvest. It's impossible to calculate the actual size of this spiritual harvest, but we can be sure that it is epic. Now, I said that I wanted to talk with you for a few minutes this morning about Jesus, about seeing the mission through His eyes. I know I've gone a lot longer than a few minutes. But I feel passionate about the compassionate heart of Jesus and His desire for us as a church to join in the harvest of souls that He is gathering to Himself, including souls in His harvest field right here in Kingstown and Franconia and Rose Hill and Springfield and Fairfax Station and all throughout this area where too many people do not yet know or follow the King of Kings. So, will you ask the Lord Jesus to enable you to see the mission through His eyes of compassion? Will you ask Him to give you His heart of compassion for the spiritually lost people in our community? Will you pray for the Lord to raise up laborers to serve in His harvest fields here and around the world? Will you be a part of the answer to this prayer? Will we as a church? Lord, let it be so. Amen.